Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Memorial to Honor Mass Shooting Victims by Michael Bauer. Odessa is taking a step forward in the process of creating a memorial to honor those who were affected by the mass shooting last August 31st that left 7 people dead and 25 others wounded. On Monday, Odessa Arts announced that a selection committee is formed to choose an artist for the memorial, which is set to be installed at Memorial Gardens on 42nd Street. The selection committee members include Mayor David Turner, Renee Earls, CEO of Odessa Chamber of Commerce, Odessa Public Art Committee member Richard Gilliam, Odessa Arts Development Director Cindy Graham, John Jameson of United Grocery Stores, City Manager Michael Marrero, Young Professionals of Odessa's Ryan Patton, Director of Parks and Recreation Steve Patton, Odessa Public Art Committee member Lorraine Perryman, and 8 representatives of victims and their families. Odessa Arts Executive Director Randy Hamm, who is also on the selection committee, says the memorial project has been ongoing since the end of last year. He said he met with the mayor about finding a place for the memorial and an artist to create it, to remember the victims and their families. We spent a few months not only talking to community stakeholders, but also to some of the victims and the families to see who would be interested in what feelings the community had about having an art piece in the city. We went through a selection process by interview and request and put together a selection committee. He said 138 artists from across the United States have applied for the commission. Hamm says the next task is for the selection committee is to narrow down that list to 3 finalists. The selected artist and design will be announced sometime in August. We're going to look at each application, Hamm said. Basically, just like with anything else, we treat this like a job application for the artists. We want to know what their previous work looked like, so we're asking for images that they've already worked on. Hamm says the committee aims to have the 3 finalists by the end of June at the latest. I try to give each finalist 6 weeks to come up with a proposal, Hamm said. The worst thing that we can do is rush this project because it's very sensitive and very important. So I want to make sure that the artists have ample time to really think and craft something that's just very important. Once it's down to 3 finalists, they will put together a proposal that addresses the specific site. But with COVID-19 still disrupting travel for some people, Hamm says some things might have to be done in a virtual setting, just in case. At the moment, we're going to go ahead and narrow it down to our finalists, and maybe by then, things might be okay for people to travel. And if it's not, then we'll have to do something like a virtual tour, where we send the finalists a video of the space and maybe do some Zoom meetings, Hamm said. The budget for the commission is $300,000 and will be paid for with a combination of hotel occupancy tax and private donations. We think that this is something that the people are going to want to commit to in order to help with the healing process and with the grieving and just reflecting and contemplation, Hamm said. I think people are going to want to help us put something out there into the community that will aid the healing process. Among the things that the committee will be looking for from the finalists includes their ability to work with a community that's dealing with a sensitive subject matter, as well as whether or not they've completed another project with a similar budget. According to Hamm, finding a location for the memorial was not easy. There were multiple crime scenes on August 31st as the gunman, Seth Ator, who was killed by police following the horrific shootings, drove all over Odessa, randomly shooting people. We didn't want to put something in front of a very specific place because then it puts more importance on one location than another. And also, Memorial Gardens is where the city normally has a 9/11 memorial. Hamm said it's also where people gather for Breast Cancer Awareness Month. It seemed like a natural fit because it's very visible from 42nd Street, and there's a parking lot where you can pull in and be part of the surroundings. As far as the completion of the memorial itself, that still is up in the air. We want to make sure that we have funding in place before we break ground, Ham said. In my mind, the fundraising aspect will be a lot easier once we have a concept to present to the community. It's hard to wrap your head around something if you don't know what it's going to look like. That's going to be the important part in August when we have a final proposal and be able to go out into the community and ask contributions for this. Community members who wish to make a donation can call the Odessa Arts Office at 432-337-1492 or visit odessaarts.org. COVID-19 News. Ector County confirmed cases 161. Ector County negative 2,171 out of 2,504 tested, with 172 pending. 5 deaths. Midland County, 132 confirmed cases with 12 deaths. Texas, 64,880 confirmed with 1,093,676 tested. Total Texas deaths, 1,678. U.S. cases, 1,787,680 total confirmed, and 104,396 deaths. Find out more at co.ector.tx.us or dshs.state.tx.us. Debate. Nexstar Broadcasting recently announced that it will host a live debate between the two candidates participating in the runoff election for the Democratic nomination for United States Senator from Texas, M.J. Hegar, and Texas State Senator Royce West. The debate will take place at 6 p.m. Saturday and is the only scheduled face-to-face meeting between the two candidates. The runoff election is scheduled for July 14th. The debate will take place at the studios of KXAN-TV in Austin and will air exclusively on 14 Nexstar stations across the state of Texas, bringing together more than 21 million viewers via live television broadcast and live stream. The exclusive live broadcast will air from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. The debate will be moderated by KXAN-TV news anchors Robert Hadlock and Sally Hernandez, and Dallas Morning News political writer Gromer Jeffers Jr. The town hall will begin with opening statements from each candidate and then move to questions posed by the moderators, Nexstar journalists from around the state, and viewers. Viewers are invited to submit questions to the candidates via social media using the hashtag TXSEN debate and via email at reportit@kxan.com. KMID-TV, ABC, Midland, Odessa, www.yourbasin.com and at Local 2 News KMID. In addition to the live television broadcast, viewers may also access a live stream of the debate by visiting their local participating Nexstar station's website, www.nexstar.tv. Husband and wife charged with illegal dumping after charging people to haul away items. An Ector County Environmentalist Enforcement Unit affidavit detailed that a husband and wife were arrested after they charged people for trash services, but illegally dumped those items. Ruben Ibarra San Miguel and Moretta Lynn Cates were each charged with illegal dumping, a Class B misdemeanor. On March 2nd, the ECEEU received complaint from citizens who witnessed and video recorded people illegally dumping litter at 2:17 p.m. February 24th in the 1900 block of Neptune Avenue, the affidavit detailed. The ECEEU reportedly investigated the complaint and arrested San Miguel and Cates for illegal dumping. The ECEEU found out that San Miguel and Cates were operating a trash service where they were soliciting citizens on social media to haul away junk for a fee. The ECEEU suspects San Miguel and Cates illegally dumped many of the items they hauled away, as they did not charge enough to pay for legal disposal, the affidavit stated. The ECEEU posted a news release about the arrest of San Miguel and Cates and requested the public contact the ECEEU if they had used the trash services of San Miguel and Cates in an attempt to identify many unsolved illegal dumping cases. On March 5th, a citizen identified as 26-year-old Simon Jared Rodriguez reportedly called the ECEEU and stated that on September 19th, he had paid San Miguel and Cates $70 to haul away four couches from his residence in the 4200 block of Don Avenue. Rodriguez stated that he witnessed San Miguel and Cates load the couches and drive away, the affidavit stated. Rodriguez stated that 10 days later, he saw two of the four couches dumped in his alley. Rodriguez provided screenshots from the social media communications, which documented the transaction and his request for them to pick up the couches. San Miguel and Cates were arrested, charged, and transported to the Ector County Law Enforcement Center. San Miguel and Cates each had one bond totaling $500, and they posted bail on Friday. Jail records show. Obituaries published from the Odessa American, Tuesday, June 2nd. Roberto Salinas. Roberto Salinas, 72 of Odessa, passed away Friday, May 29th. A visitation will begin at noon on Wednesday, June 3rd, at Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home. Services will be at 2 p.m. the same day, at Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home Chapel. Interment will follow at Rest Haven Memorial Park in Midland. Roberto Salinas was born January 9, 1948, in McAllen, Texas, to Armando and Juana Salinas. Roberto is survived by his children, David Salinas, and son-in-law, Alan Miller, of Palm Springs, California. Daniel Salinas of Odessa, Jose Salinas of Aurora, Illinois, and Michael Salinas and son-in-law John Salinas of Chicago, Illinois. His grandchildren, Roberto Ray, Jose Rubin Jr., Elijah, Amaya, and Saria Salinas. His brothers, Cuate, Arnoldo, and Javier Salinas. And loving nieces and nephews that had a special place in Roberto's heart. Roberto is preceded in death by his spouse, Minga Salinas, his parents, his brother, Alfredo Salinas, and sister, Cuata Garza. The family would like to express their gratitude towards Vita's hospice staff at Baylor Scott and White All Saints Medical Center in Fort Worth. In lieu of flowers, memorial donations may be made to Lone Star Ranch and Horse Rescue, in memorial of Roberto Salinas, 7397 FM 1377, Blue Ridge, Texas, 75424. Telephone 214-432-5454. Paul bearers will be David Salinas, Daniel Salinas, Michael Salinas, Roberto Ray Salinas, Alan Miller, and John Salinas. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at npwelch.com. Robert Larry Kirk. Larry Kirk passed away at home on May 27th. He was 74 years old. At Larry's request, no service will be held. Mr. Kirk was born on November 19, 1945, in Gorman, Texas, to Elva and Glenn Kirk. Larry served in the Army as an officer in Vietnam. He graduated from SMU with a BBA degree in finance. Larry was a banker, and most of his career was as a loan officer. He is survived by his wife, Fran, and his son, Ian. Arrangements by American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory. Death Notices. Maureen Walsh Arp. Maureen Walsh Arp, 52, died Saturday, May 30th in Midland. Services are pending with Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Juan Garcia Baeza. Juan Garcia Baeza, 87, of Carrollton, Texas, died Tuesday, May 26th in Carrollton. Funeral service is scheduled for 9 a.m. June 1st at Purchase Funeral Homes in Odessa. Burial followed at Ector County Cemetery in Peaceful Gardens, and Pastor Javier B. Torres officiating. Arrangements are by La Paz Purchase Funeral Homes of Odessa. Jaime Rojo Garza. Jaime Rojo Garza, 51, died Sunday, May 31st in Odessa. Services are pending with Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Antonio M. Villa. Antonio M. Villa, 74, of Odessa, died Sunday, May 31st in Odessa. Funeral service is scheduled for 1 p.m. on Wednesday, June 3rd, at Martinez Funeral Home Chapel. Family has opted for a private cremation to follow. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. We're now going to pause in today's newspaper readings to bring you a press conference from Governor Greg Abbott from Dallas earlier this afternoon, along with the mayors of Dallas and Fort Worth. We will resume the newspaper with today's feature columns following the press conference. This recording begins approximately 5 minutes after the press conference began. The point he is making just before the recording starts are his sympathies for the protesters.
It is essential that we end the violence, the vandalism, and the looting that we've seen over the past few days during the course of these protests. That is why we have deployed more than 1,000 Department of Public Safety officers, as well as hundreds of Texas National Guard, just to the Dallas-Fort Worth region alone. More are being deployed across the entire state of Texas. We are also working with our partners and the U.S. Attorney's Office, as well as the FBI, to quell any uprisings of violence that may occur. Now, some of the violence that we're seeing is not being done by people who reside in Dallas or even in Texas. Instead, the violence is coming into Texas from across state lines. It's committed by criminals who are hijacking peaceful protests in order to plunder and in order to loot. That is why we are also working with all four United States attorneys in Texas to ensure that these criminals are going to be subject to federal prosecution. Our immediate task at hand is to ensure that we restore calm in our communities, but restoring calm in our communities does not end our task. Our work will not end until justice, fairness, and equality become a reality in every part of our great state. And Texas is up to this task. Texas is recognized as a national leader in criminal justice reform. Texas passed the Timothy Cole Act, the Sandra Bland Act, and the James Byrd Jr. Hate Crimes Act. I signed a law that places body cameras on law enforcement uniforms to make a record of all police encounters. I signed into law the Timothy Cole Exoneration Review Commission. The Innocence Project which is known across the United States, perhaps across the entire world. They labeled Texas the gold standard in innocence reform. And Texas has exonerated more individuals than any other state since 1989. We are up to the task of doing both, correcting injustices and restoring safety in our communities. What I have seen as governor is that Texans can overcome any challenge. We can put an end to the violence that is gripping our cities. We can remedy the injustices that have plagued African American and other minority communities in Texas. And we will seize this moment to bridge the divides that exist in our state so that we can and we will keep Texas the greatest state in the United States of America. At this time, I will pass it to Mayor Eric Johnson.
Thank you, Governor Abbott. I want to say that, first of all, I appreciate your words and your support. And I also want to thank Mayor Price and her team for joining us here today. I want to echo the governor's statement about George Floyd. What happened in Minneapolis was brutal, inexcusable, and tragic. And Mr. Floyd's death reopened a painful wound that runs deep in our city, our state, and our country. It's a wound, however, that will not heal on its own. The city of Dallas has and must continue to address our challenges head on. As you all know, I love this city. I grew up right here in West Dallas and Oak Cliff, and it's the only city that I've ever called or ever wanted to call home. I'm proud to be a Dallasite, a Texan, and an American, and I'm honored to serve as the mayor of my hometown. No one goes into public service because they believe everything is perfect and every problem has already been solved. I grew up surrounded by inequities in historically underserved communities in this city. While those of us up here haven't always agreed on every issue, we all dedicated ourselves to public service because we want to improve the lives of our neighbors in our community. And our community right now is expressing legitimate concerns, fears, and complaints about a history of systemic issues in this country. We should hear them. We should talk to them. And we should respect them and their rights to express themselves. It's up to us, the public officials up here, and all of us who are watching and listening, to heed these calls for justice. On Friday, we will have a special called meeting of the Dallas City Council to discuss the events of the past week and to talk about what this city can do better. In the meantime, I want to reiterate that we will not tolerate those who want to come into our city and exploit these peaceful protests to cause mischief for its own sake or for their own personal gain. The violence, vandalism, and theft that we saw committed by some groups of people over the weekend is not reflective of the city that I know. And much of it was perpetrated by people who are not residents of the city of Dallas. They don't pay taxes here. It's not their property they're destroying. This isn't their home. These are outsiders who came into our city to cause trouble, knowing that they don't have to live with any of the consequences. I'm very grateful to Governor Abbott for the additional resources he's provided to help maintain order and to allow for peaceful protests to go on without disruption. And I'm also thankful for the people of the city of Dallas who've been overwhelmingly supportive and have heeded our calls for peace. Our people have been through extraordinarily difficult times in the past few months. The ongoing pandemic, the economic turmoil, and the unrest of the past few days have been heartbreaking to watch unfold in our great city. We're doing all that we can to help our residents get through these difficult times. As usual, our people are responding with dignity and with grace. They're helping each other out, and that's how we're going to get through this together. So thank you, Governor, and may God bless the city of Dallas, the state of Texas, and the United States of America. And now I'm going to turn it over to my good friend, the mayor of Fort Worth, Betsy Price.
Thank you, Eric, or Mayor Johnson. It's hard sometimes not to call your good friends by their first name, but we appreciate you hosting us today. Governor Abbott, thank you for joining us here in Fort Worth, Dallas region today. As we all deal with really difficult issues, and I want to thank Mayor Johnson and Chief Hall for their support in this. We live in a very regional area. People go back and forth, so we are heavily dependent on each other, and our citizens are often Eric's citizens during the day and vice versa for all of us. It really is intertwined. Our own Chief Ed Krause is with us today. The protests continued last night in Fort Worth, despite the fact that we had the curfew, by and large peaceful. And our chief and our officers and joined with our protesters in compassion, love, and some sharing of friendship. It was incredibly moving last night to watch the images of our chief kneeling and praying alongside the protesters, of him moving the SWAT team back on the promise that they would leave. Oftentimes, it's that little bit of communication that helps unwind this. Texans are lawful citizens, and they want to protest and express their outrage over the horrific killing of George Floyd. And most of them are very, very peaceful. And our chief has always led with a servant's heart and a warrior's heart when it's the proper place. I want to echo the governor's comments on the George Floyd killing. It is horrific. The national outcry and what we're seeing echoed here in Texas is an injustice that our communities, as Eric said, are feeling deeply, as are all of us as leaders. All of this region has had tragic instances. Fort Worth had our own killing of a Tatiana Jefferson just 7 months ago. That was tragic. Our community is still hurting, still reeling. Much hard work has gone into that, but nothing more than listening and compassion, where Texans can hear us and know that someone cares. And I think that helps get the healing further along than nearly anything. The protests and the demonstrations that we've seen in Fort Worth are about people exercising their First Amendment rights. I applaud the young men and women who have courageously and respectfully been involved in those protests. It's not just Fort Worth residents. As you said, Eric, many of them are outside of our region who are here. Our DPS resources, National Guard, that you've made available, while we haven't called them in, they've stood ready, and we know exactly where they are if we do have to. But they're there to help resist that people who want to incite violence. Our communities of color deserve to be heard, and their message deserves to resonate with all of us, a collective compassion. I look forward to continuing this hard work with you, Governor Abbott, and with you, Mayor Johnson, along with all our communities. And I know that as an end result, peaceful demonstrations, the right to express your First Amendment, we all come together, listen, and care. Fort Worth, Dallas region, and indeed the entire state of Texas will be stronger for it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor, and thank you, Mayor. And we will be happy to take some questions. I want you to know that as you ask questions, You're free to also ask questions of those who did not speak right now. One reason why these folks are here with us is because they bring their own unique information base that they can share information with you, so feel free to ask questions of them also. So we will not be asking the United States military to come into the state of Texas because we know that Texans can take care of Texans. We have tremendous police forces in Dallas, in Fort Worth, in the surrounding suburbs, across the entire state. We have an abundance of resources that are being provided by the Texas Department of Public Safety. They've deployed something around close to 3,000 people across the entire state of Texas already. We have the National Guard that's adding people by the day to make sure that we are going to be capable of making sure Texans will be able to take care of Texans. Say it again now. Sure. So what happens actually on a weekly basis, sometimes twice a week, is the governors across the United States have a telephone conference with the president. Typically, it has been focusing on the coronavirus. Yesterday, it focused on what was going on across the entire country in response to what happened with regard to George Floyd. Appropriately, we all talked about the horrific killing of George Floyd and the necessity to respond to the tragedy of George Floyd in a positive way to make sure that we can provide some sense of justice, and not just for George Floyd, but for every community across the United States of America. But at the same time, we talked about the necessity of restoring calm and order and safety in our communities. So during my remarks, I talked about several of the laws that Texas has passed, including during the time that I have been governor. But it's just a sampling, not a complete listing of those laws. Before I came here today, I had the opportunity to visit with legislators, and I talked to them about the beginning of this process. And that is, I talked about the need for us to ensure the safety of our communities now, while we also ensure the ability of those to peacefully protest. But I also let them know that today is not going to be any type of end. For us as legislators, today is going to be the beginning of a, today is going to be the beginning of a dialogue that we have among the members in the Texas Capitol to focus on issues like this, understanding that in order for us to get information that is needed to start crafting legislation begins not in January when we meet for session, but begins now as we start that process. We're open to putting everything on the table and working toward positive solutions that will improve Texas. So first, with regard to the panels, you're probably referring to panels that we had in the aftermath of shootings, whether it be at Santa Fe or in El Paso and things like that. And we were able to have those at a time when we didn't have COVID-19. And so because of COVID-19, we have to be cautious about the way that any type of panel would be handled. However, as I laid out this morning, as I spoke with legislators, the time to start working collaboratively together begins now. With regard to your other question about, forget exactly how you worded it, but with... Sure. Those are ongoing. I would like to have Director McCraw answer that question, as he is the one with the most information about it. Do you see if that works?
This work?
Absolutely. Okay. Texas Rangers, special agents with DPS, are working with their counterparts, special agents with the Federal Bureau of Investigation. The construct, and certainly the U.S. Attorney is well aware of, the Joint Terrorism Task Force, to pursue all agitators and individuals that have been involved in inciting riots or looting in the state of Texas. And I can tell you, and it's already been said, the governor said it, the majority of people that are protesting are doing it because they're sickened by the murder of George Floyd, period. Absolutely. And they got a constitutional right to protest and do it peacefully. And we have an obligation as law enforcement officers to protect their right to protest and allow that to occur. However, those that engage in crime, and we're talking about it, there's violent extremists, okay, there's anarchists, there's Antifa, but there's also criminals, okay, that are using this as an opportunity to exploit, to loot, and hurt others. That's happening. And we've got a long memory, and we've recorded evidence, and we'll continue to investigate each and every event to identify those individuals who are involved in criminal conduct and make the appropriate arrest based on probable cause and getting prosecution either the district attorneys or from the U.S. Attorney's Office. Well, everyone that's been identified thus far, yes, there's a list.
Do you want to add anything?
No. We'll go through the normal process and due process in terms of developing reasonable suspicion, probable cause. And I can tell you, I don't mind advertising this. We do have special agents embedded trying to identify criminals that are leveraging these or are using this as an opportunity, exploiting these demonstrations, and identify them. And we've already identified some of them. And we will be arresting them, but not at this particular moment. They're all over the place. I can tell you that the majority are going to be statewide, but there are individuals that have been indicated that came from out of state into, and we were even aware of in terms of May 31st, the protest and looting of Target in Austin. Okay, that was done and organized by an Antifa webpage, and of course the surveillance that was provided over the internet to identifying where law enforcement resources were staged was done over Antifa accounts. So there's no question that there is involvement of these violent extremists that are trying to exploit these things. But the majority of people that are protesting are doing it for the lawful reasons, period. They're doing it. There's evidence of Antifa, yes. And keep in mind, Antifa is a loosely knit group, right? There's not a hierarchical infrastructure. It's who they self-identify. And so it's the same people that you've seen before in some of these protests, and they're more often involved in these counter-protests, are the same individuals that are involved right now using this as an opportunity. They just can't help themselves. And they're going to exploit this as much as they can.
Well, again, that would be a question best answered by police officers, and I will allow Director McCraw to answer first, and then if they want to, the police chiefs can also answer.
Make no mistake about it. There's not a police officer in Texas who's not sickened by the murder of George Floyd. I guarantee you that. I said, we get paid. You entrust us. The public can trust with so much power in police. The power to detain and unfortunately to use force at times. And with that trust is where we use it for one reason, that's to protect people, not to harm people. And that's exactly what he was harmed, okay? He was murdered. And that's unacceptable. And every officer is accountable for their actions. And as the governor pointed out, video cameras on every one of our troopers and police officers are wearing those around because that's evidence, okay, to ensure that there is evidence that captures what they're doing in their interactions with the public, because we've got a responsibility and a right, an obligation to treat everyone with dignity and respect.
So, right now, the legal investigation reasonably believing that there's a substantial risk of
You know, what did you talk about? Deadly violence or deadly force?
Deadly force.
Well, quite frankly, there's a lot of that is case law by the Supreme Court. We've got an obligation to ensure that we're in complete compliance with it and a strict compliance. But the bottom line is, there's not a police officer. The use of force should be the last resort. Okay, everything you try to do, you gear around is the force continuum is to try to de-escalate it from the beginning. And you don't want to get to that last part. But there are times, and only times, when you're in imminent fear of your safety or the safety of others, are you allowed to use deadly force, and it has to be reasonable in the way you use deadly force. I'll let the legislators and policymakers make that decision. Bottom line is that we should never use force unless we absolutely have to save lives. Yeah, they're always operating, and they certainly would leverage the advantage of it. We've had reports that they are. We haven't seen that yet. I've yet actually seen reports of Boogaloo and other groups that sometimes have a Nazi affiliation. But hey, they're thugs, okay? They're criminals, okay? They're racists, they're bigots. They'll be involved in some way, shape, or form in some criminal activity trying to exploit this, if nothing else, counter-protesting or pitting someone against another.
Well, so there are going to be ideas like that come forward. And I think it's important that we have the opportunity to be able to have dialogue with all legislators and round out the completeness of all these issues, consider the pros and cons and modifications to any of these issues. And so one-off answers are incomplete. We need to have the complete dialogue of everybody in the House and Senate.
Last question.
Would you restate your question, please? There has been no request for Texas to send National Guard troops to Washington, D.C. I do not expect that request. Texas National Guard are here for Texans, and that's exactly what they will be used for.
Thanks, guys. Thank you all. Thank you all.
Real quick.
Well, I don't want to concentrate on actions that I took. The action or the discussion needs to remain on the murder of George Floyd and the understandable outrage of the community and the peaceful protests that we are supporting. As the governor said and the mayor said, we can't have that anarchist vandalism and looting and certainly not assaultive behavior, but we're here to support the peaceful protest as much as we can, and that's a concentration of what we're doing, and that's, I think, where the conversation needs to be. I do think, and I've seen other places in other communities kneeling and marching in solidarity and having these tough conversations with members of the protest, and I think that's definitely a step in the right direction. I've said it before that we have to come together with our communities, and the first step, it's incumbent on us, the police, to take it. We cannot expect the community to come to us if we're not willing to go to them first.
Chief, if you ask for an additional remark. Chief, we really need you to speak into the microphone.
Sorry. So I've been in contact with our divisional representative of the Texas DPS, who has offered all the resources that we could need. My goal is to handle this with Fort Worth police officers, officers who are embedded in the community, familiar with the community, and that I am confident will deal with the community in a very good way.
I think Chief Hall is answering next.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
What was the question? You said, are we expected to honor? Yes.
Curfews.
Yes, absolutely. We are putting these curfews in place to keep the peaceful protesters as well as our community, our businesses, keep everyone safe. And we're just asking that they would abide by those curfews.
Once again, that was the press conference from Governor Abbott from Dallas earlier this afternoon. We now continue with the feature columns from today's newspapers. Trouble for transfusion patients. To your good health, Tuesday, June 2nd. Dear Dr. Roach, I had two blood transfusions in 2012 during an almost year-long bout with an out-of-control infection that ended up in a fused knee. In a recent antibody screen, I was identified as having anti-JKB. The information on this that I was able to find on the internet was incomprehensible to me. In simple terms, what does this mean? Am I able to donate blood? Can I receive donated blood? Answer. Most people know about the ABO blood types and the Rh factors that are the primary considerations that govern how we transfuse blood. But there are also many other blood antigens that can also cause transfusion reactions. Antigen is a general term for a substance that can provoke an immune response, usually a protein, sometimes connected with sugars. One of the families of antigens that may cause a transfusion reaction is called Kidd blood group system. It's named after the first patient in whom this was found. Antibodies to these antigens can cause transfused blood to be destroyed. This is called hemolytic, literally blood breaking, transfusion reaction. Worse, Kidd antibodies, anti-JKA, anti-JKB, and anti-JK3, can be difficult to find. The level in the blood goes down to very low, sometimes undetectable levels after transfusion, but the antibodies are still capable of causing a transfusion reaction. The transfusion reaction in this case is typically delayed, not immediate. For this reason, it would be worthwhile for people with anti-Kidd antibodies to wear a medical alert bracelet in case of emergency transfusion need. People like you with anti-JK antibodies may still donate blood, but the blood bank must give this blood only to people who lack the antigen. Fears for young niece being raised in toxic home. Dear Abby, Tuesday, June 2nd. Dear Abby, after many years, my sister and I finally have a decent relationship. I feel I can tell her about almost anything. My brother-in-law, Aaron, is an alcoholic, and my sister enables him. When he drinks, his already quick temper becomes worse, and he knows everything. To make things worse, they have a 3-year-old child I'll call Casey. It infuriates me when I see Aaron's crude, foul-mouthed, omnipotent behavior in front of Casey. There have been times he has used my presence, because I babysit Casey, to drink to the point of impairment. When Casey has a tantrum or is overtired and acts her age, Aaron loses patience with her. He yells at her, slams things down in front of her, and storms out of the room. I'm well aware that children watch and learn behavior from their parents. Daughters will seek out boys, then men, who behave like their father, thinking it is normal behavior. How do I approach my sister who buys Aaron whiskey when he's feeling down that there's a serious problem here? My husband and I have a stable home and successfully raised 5 children. We would be willing to take in Casey until Aaron is truly well. My comments to my sister will be met with fury or maybe hatred, but I will do whatever is best for Casey. I love that little girl so much to see her raised in such a toxic environment. Between a drunk and a hard place. Dear Between, you say your sister slips her husband alcohol when he's down. To me, that says he may be using it to self-medicate depression. You do need to talk with your sister. When you do, explain you are concerned about Aaron's change of behavior when he drinks and the effect it has. and will continue to have on little Casey. Aaron does need help, but so does your sister. Enabling someone as well-intentioned as it may be is not helping the person. Aaron needs to talk to a doctor about his episodes of depression, and your sister could gain a great deal of insight by attending some Al-Anon meetings. You can find one nearby by visiting alanon.org. Offer to go with her if she's reluctant. Dear Abby, I am in an interracial relationship. I'm black and he's white Hispanic. We have been together for a year. She has met just about all my family and all of my friends, but I have only met 4 people in her life. She has a lot of friends on social media, but no one knows about me. She never posts pictures of us or even hints anything about me. She is friends with her ex-boyfriend, and she knows about his girlfriend, but he has no clue about me. No one does. I feel like I'm her invisible man. She comes from a country background, and I'm afraid she is embarrassed or ashamed of me. Am I reading too much into this, or should I be concerned that she may not be into me as much as I am into her? We were talking about getting married. Invisible Man in Texas. Dear Invisible Man, something isn't right here. You say you were talking about getting married. Are you still talking about it? I find it peculiar that after being together for a year, you haven't met her family. You have met so few of her friends, and she has posted nothing about you on social media. The time has come to ask her the reason and whether your romance may have run its course. Horoscopes for Tuesday, June 2nd. Happy birthday for Tuesday, June 2nd, 2020. Inventive and problem-solving, this difficult year is, in an odd way, perfect for you. You handle crises well, and your many projects will thus go successfully. If single, beware of being drawn to problematic personalities, as this will not make you happy. Sometimes it is better to be alone. If attached, you hang in through thick and thin, and at times, past the expiration date of the relationship. Cancer has a hard time leaving. The stars show the kind of day you'll have. 5 dynamic, 4 positive, 3 average, 2 so-so, 1 difficult. Aries, March 21st through April 19th. 2 stars. There may be a subtle feud to resolve today. Humor and patience are your best defense against a cantankerous individual. There will be fulfillment on many levels of your passions and desires as the day ends. Tonight, finances are an emotional issue. Taurus, April 20th through May 20th, 3 stars. Today brings indecision from others. Allow them to revise plans, but stay independent. Pets are especially good companions. Stroke your favorite cat and absorb healing energies. This helps you focus on important priorities. Tonight, creativity is at a high point. Gemini, May 21st through June 20th, 4 stars. Creativity accelerates if you enjoy novelty and stimulation today. Study a new subject or skill if boredom threatens. Accept a tempting invitation. Share a bit of humor and be understanding with your nearest and dearest. Tonight, personal involvements will be electric, exciting, and unpredictable. Cancer, June 21st through July 22nd, 4 stars. Ideally, you want your residents to feel safe, with the atmosphere of a peaceful sanctuary. Reconsider and postpone any major building or home improvements. This brings you good judgment, enabling you to make wise decisions concerning a move. Tonight, get a good night's sleep. Leo, July 23rd through August 22nd. 4 stars. Today makes you restless. New places and new ideas would refresh you. Variety is a must. purchase a couple of newly published books, or vary the routes you travel and see the neighborhood from a different perspective. Tonight, there is an accent on agreements and promises. Virgo, August 23rd through September 22nd, 3 stars. Associates feel rather conservative today. Do not try to force your values on those who are not receptive. Clip coupons and comparison shop for the best prices when making purchases. Tonight, keep up with prior commitments to protect your credibility. Libra, September 23rd through October 22nd, 4 stars. Keep your overall goals and perspective in mind regarding work today. Your own mindset creates much of what is happening. Notes of humor and lightness are more effective with associates than a severe or overbearing manner. Tonight, exactly as you want it. Scorpio, October 23rd through November 21st, 5 stars. Your sincere compassion for another wins you a new friend. You will make kind, generous gestures toward those less fortunate. Favors you perform now will be returned later. Tonight, you are aware of different levels of reality unfolding, or life's many marvelous dimensions. Sagittarius, November 22nd through December 21st, 5 stars. Today begins on a cheerful note. You will enjoy witty, talkative friends. Accept an opportunity to do public speaking or writing. You enjoy involvement with book clubs or other organizations that help you learn. Tonight, invest in purchases that bring you joy and beauty. Capricorn, December 22nd through January 19th. 5 stars. Today finds you highly visible and creative at work. You will have opportunities to show what you can do with your career. Your manners and appearance carry you a long way toward realizing a professional aspiration. Tonight, you enjoy deeper insight into others' motivations. Aquarius, January 20th through February 18th, 5 stars. The teacher or crusader within you is apparent today. You try to share alternative ideas and knowledge to uplift others. It is a marvelous time to indulge in virtual travel. Foreign foods, customs, and music delight you. Tonight, friends from diverse backgrounds are charming company. Pisces, February 19th through March 20th, 4 stars. Today heightens your analytical skills. New purchases are very important. You will invest in items that add pleasure and comfort. There also can be a deepening sense of unity with loved ones who have passed into spirit. Tonight, dinner with those you love the most.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.